Our Father and our God, this morning we are grateful for the blessing that has richly bestowed upon us, that has brought us together here to come together to study thy word. Father, may thou now consecrate this time of preaching. May it be to the glory of thy holy name. It's in the name of thy holy Son, my Savior, the Lord Jesus, I pray and I give thanks. Amen. It was a perfect world, a world devoid of sin. But in the midst of this perfection, God saw one imperfection. And the Bible records, "Then the Lord God said, it is not good for man to be alone. I will make him an helper suitable for him." Genesis chapter 2, verse 18. Loneliness was that imperfection. Though God was present in the Garden of Eden with Adam, his first creation, he knew that Adam needed a physical companion, someone just like him, someone to complete him. This ultimately led to the creation of woman, we will later know as Eve. Since then, the need for companionship has been chiseled into the psyche of humans. Today, one of the distinctive marks of our humanity is actually companionship. We all gravitate towards some form of companionship, albeit friends, family, or other forms of companionship. As Mark Twain once said, "To get the full value of joy, you have to have someone to divide it with." But you know, as healthy as companionship is, it is always very risky. And it's because of our depraved nature. And this risk at times is more profound and more obvious when it comes to dating relationships. When you are trying to court somebody in a dating relationship that you're praying might lead to eventually marriage. You know, relationship is one of the greatest source of shattered dreams, dashed hopes, heartbreaks, despair, and in some rare cases, some have taken their lives. The fairy tale beginnings do not always end with "and they lived happily ever after." The frog does not always turn into a prince, and the shoe does not always fit Cinderella's feet. You know, undoubtedly, relationships are a slippery slope that must not be entered unadvisedly. And this morning, I believe to avoid being part of the statistics of broken relationships, a single person, whether you are just getting married for the first time or looking forward to getting married for the first time, or whether this is your second rodeo, you're going this second time around, I believe there are some key principles from the Word of God that you need to understand as you approach this dating or courtship relationship. And this morning, I want to take time to lay out for you some principles that I've been able to deduce from the Word of God that will teach you what you need to be aware of before you jump into any relationship. And there's going to be six principles this morning that I hope every single person listening to me will adhere to, because I believe this must save you broken heart, broken dreams, and shattered hopes. The first thing I want you to be able to understand in getting into relationship is this. First impression is always superficial or cosmetic. You want to write that down. First impression is always superficial, or shall I say cosmetic. As easy and as obvious as this does sound, it is usually one of the difficult things for singles to discern. You know, let me illustrate it for you this morning so you can understand what I'm trying to communicate. If you are going to sell your home and you hire a realtor and you intend for people to come in to see your home before they put a contract down, the realtor will first call you to stage your home. The process of staging has to do with making sure that everything looks pretty decent, presentable, so that those that are coming in to look at it will have a good impression of what they see. First impression in any dating relationship is always full of staging. What I mean by staging is that both persons are always on their best character. They devote excessive time to one another. Like we do, they wine, they dine you. They open the car door for you to go in. They seem to be genuinely interested in what you're interested in. Even though they don't go to church, they will pretend as if they have been going to church all their lives and go with you to church in order to give you an impression. Impression that I call a staging. Now, for the recipient of such impression, since we are created in the image of God and we have this innate desire to be loved, it is always easy to misconstrue such substance, such appearance, such impression for actual substance. Again, I want you to watch what I'm saying this morning. It is always easy to misconstrue such impression for actual substance, which will lead many to believe that this person is the perfect one, or this person is the one that will do no wrong. But, you know, like a fruit, the true substance of a person is always the last to show. And I believe the inability to patiently wait for this manifestation is often what makes many fall into relationship. Then later down the road, they discover that the person they met is not the person now they're seeing. The reason is very simple, because the true substance I'm coming out. The impression I've been put away, and the mask I've been removed, and the true person is not being seen. And I truly believe for you as a single person seeking to go into any relationship, you ultimately have to be patient enough to understand and to look closely and to ensure that what you're seeking is the fruit, like the Lord Jesus told us, by their fruit you shall know them. And I truly believe as a single person seeking to enter into a relationship, you must first understand that first impression, no matter how genuine they look, are always superficial. There's a second thing this morning that I want you to understand as a single person. Don't trust your emotions. Again, let me repeat that. Don't trust your emotions. You know, emotions are great. They are God-given sensors that define our personality. Even God expresses emotion. God is said to be angry at sin. God loves. God hates sin. God is grieved, like the Holy Spirit is grieved. So there is really nothing wrong with emotions. However, when it comes to entering into a relationship, you cannot trust your emotions. For a single person, you cannot trust your emotions. Why? I believe the emotions that we have, just like our heart, has the power to sedate us to the reality. In other words, we become so emotionally invested that it blinds us to the reality, to the obvious, that we now create a sense of fantasy. And in the world of fantasy, anything is possible. And I truly believe that many overwhelmed by emotion. It is not always uncommon to see people hopeful even when there is apparently no hope. It's trying to justify an action that is obviously a red flag that should point to you, that should tell you that something here is wrong. And I truly believe this is where the problem lies, because we become so emotionally invested. And when we become emotionally invested, we tend to put away all, we throw caution to the wind. And when we throw caution to the wind, we begin to look through a fairy tale glass and we believe this is it. Rather than being very objective and looking at the person and knowing that if there is a red flag, something is wrong. And I truly believe there are many that even during the time of dating, that they can counter people that experience, that display anger, and they try to rationalize it because they are emotionally invested. They see people that disrespect them, but yet because they're emotionally invested, they don't want to lose that sense of companionship. So they trust their emotion to be the green light that will give them their direction. And for many that have been through that route, the disappointment has been great. There's a third thing this morning, singles, I want you to understand as you hope to get into a relationship with a person. You cannot change anybody. You want to write that down. You cannot change anybody. One of the greatest self-deceptions that I believe cloud the minds of many, and especially singles, is the idea that you can change a person. I truly believe that humans lend itself to trying to change a person and to fix another person so that they can feel more comfortable. But I'm here to tell you this morning, no, you cannot. God has not given any one of us the ability to change a person. Oh, yes, you can influence a person, but you can't change a person. Even more interestingly, we really don't have the power to change ourselves. You might say, well, Pastor Wally, I don't understand that. The question is that why do many of us, when we even will to do what is good, end up doing what is wrong? And many of us, in our willpower, we discover that our willpower is not enough and we still fail. It's because we can't change ourselves. In other words, if a person enters into a relationship, and that person has got some disposition that are questionable, you can be guaranteed that that person is going to carry that disposition into anything that they're doing. You know, if a person that you are trying to date is abusive before you get into any relationship, don't imagine for a minute that your love is going to pacify that notion of abusiveness. You know, if the person you're dating is controlling, or the person that is approaching you, the person is controlling, don't assume for one minute that you can change that by your love, because that is an inner struggle that that person is dealing with. And if you get into a relationship with them and eventually into a marriage situation with them, they will still be controlling. If a person is possessive and a person is a player, don't even think for one minute that you can really change that person. You know, I tended to you this morning, rarely does a person develop a personality change because they get married or because they get into a relationship. They might, for some time, look all right. But I tell you what, that old self is bound to be resurrected. And this is why it is important for you as a single person, don't come into a relationship with the idea that you want to change a person. And I even throw this caveat here, that there's even a possibility that that person can actually derail you from what you want to do. You know, I truly believe that that person can kind of manipulate you because of their manipulative actions to get you off track. Don't get it wrong today, loved ones. You can't change nobody. Oh, yes, you can influence them. But in a relationship, there is no power given to you to change a person. If that person is not who you intend or who you envision that person to be before you marry that person, believe me, that person is going to be the same old person when they come into that relationship. You know, there is one exception, though. That's God. You know, if God sovereignly decides to change that person, that's good. But I need to tell you, the prerogative is God's, not yours. And I tell you this morning, if you're dating a person as a Christian single and that person shows some red flags that are questionable, you need to really pause. I really need to talk to somebody about it, because that might be the difference between you entering a marriage that will end in a heartbreak or a marriage that will be for a lifetime. There's a fourth thing here I want you to write down this morning, singles. And this is it. Don't seek to find your fulfillment in the relationship. Rather, seek to find your fulfillment in God. Can I repeat that this morning? Don't seek to find your fulfillment in a relationship. Rather, seek to find your fulfillment in God. You know, a place of fulfillment is usually a place of happiness and satisfaction. It is a place where people feel secured. And in all honesty, every one of us long for such a place. But if you seek to find such a place of fulfillment in a relationship, you are in for a rude awakening. And this is simple, because humans are fallen. Humans by nature are depraved. People will fail you. People will disappoint you. People will change on you. And may I remind you, this happens in relationship every time. You know, when those things happen, trust is eroded. Despair come in, hope is dashed. Because the person that you thought was going to be a source of happiness, a source of satisfaction, a source of security, fails you. And I believe for some who have become embittered many years after failed relationships, for many who are still angry and still resentful and unforgiving, I will tender to you this morning that deep within is that reliance or that trust in that person in terms of seeking that person to be the person to give them their hope, to give them their happiness, to give them their satisfaction. And when that fails, they become angry. And I truly believe for you as a Christian single, you must first find your fulfillment in God. Pastor Wally, what does this mean? You must first be in a relationship with a Savior. You must first love Jesus. You must first put your total trust in the Lord Jesus. You must first begin to walk with the Lord Jesus with a sincere heart. You must dedicate yourself to obedience. When you place your trust and your fulfillment in Jesus, oh yes, When people fail you, you will feel disappointed. Oh, yes, when people do something to you, you'll feel heartbroken. But like the psalmist said, weeping might endure for the night, but joy will come in the morning. Why? Because you understand that your joy is in Jesus. And the joy of the Lord will now be your strength that will take you through that valley of disappointment, that will take you through that valley of dashed hope, that will take you through that valley or that you feel so lonely. It's the joy of the Lord. It's because your fulfillment is in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. Loved ones, listen to me this morning. I love my wife dearly, but my source of fulfillment is in Jesus. And if anything shall happen to her, 27 years still going on, we'll still be married. I will find my joy in the Lord Jesus, because Jesus is my rock. Jesus is my strength. And I truly believe for you as a Christian single, that must be your starting point. When that becomes your starting point, everything in your relationship falls in place. There's a fifth thing this morning I need to advise you as Christian singles. Don't be afraid to set clear and healthy boundaries. I want to write that down again. Don't be afraid to set clear and healthy boundaries. You know, boundaries not only communicate how far you can go, but also how close others can come to you. A person that has no boundaries simply saying there is no limit to how far I can go and how close you can come to me. And this is always a recipe for disaster. And I truly believe there are so many singles in an attempt to hold onto a relationship that they get rid of boundaries. In an attempt to hold onto a relationship, they let go of their morals because they need to keep that relationship, though there is no covenant bounding them together. I tell you what, this morning, if that is you, you're in for disaster on the horizon. And I truly believe as a Christian single, you must be able to respect yourself enough to put boundaries in place in any relationship that you're getting into. Because if you don't, you run a risk. Now, can I advise you this morning for a minute and suggest some boundaries as a single person you need to put in place? This is the first boundary I'll tell you. And the boundary is simple. No sex before marriage. I know that might sound kind of arcade in this very desensitized culture where there is desensitization of sexuality. But I truly believe in terms of obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ, in terms of your own purity, you must say to yourself, this is what the Lord Jesus says. This is what God says. This is a boundary I need to maintain. No sex before marriage. Because if you let go of that boundary, and you decide that we are going to be in a conjugal relationship where there is no covenant, we are going to be in a conjugal relationship, you are actually going to lose value, because there is a value associated with being a conjugal relationship without no covenant. The only permissible place that the Bible affirms that a sexual relationship must take place is within the conference of a marriage under a covenant. And as a Christian single, male and female, listening to me this morning, if you say, well, that doesn't work in our culture, yes, it works unless you decide not to do it. It must work because that's what Jesus calls us to do. There's a second boundary here I can advise you singles this morning. And this is it. I'm not going to be financially responsible for you. Watch what I just said. Watch what I just said now. I'm talking about entering a courtship relationship. Now, I'm not talking about being married. I'm talking about a courtship relationship. When you are dating a person, Be careful that you don't become responsible for them. You are responsible to them, but not for them. Very important that you understand the distinction between that. When you're responsible to somebody, you're responsible to respect them. You're responsible to respect their boundaries. But when you become responsible for somebody, that means you got to take care of that person. And you don't want to do that in a courtship relationship. You don't want the person to come and loan your vehicle because they don't have vehicles to drive. Or they want to move into your house because they don't have nowhere to stay. You don't do that because what you're promoting there is a lack of responsibility. And it will backfire against you. It will backfire. It will always backfire. You might say, Pastor Wally, this don't work in real life. Yes, it does. Yes, it does. You must understand for a sake, you must understand that when you don't establish the boundaries, that I cannot be responsible for you. I will only be responsible to you. You will always struggle in any form of relationship you enter. And I counsel you on the third one. And this is the boundaries I can counsel you as a single. The boundary has to do with your faith. You must never compromise your faith. Don't exchange your faith for love. Listen to me this morning. You might say, Pastor Wally, listen, love matters a lot. Love will take us through. I can tender to you this morning, after 27 years of being married to one of the most beautiful women in the world, I can tell you for a fact that love that you think, that romantic love which you all think is just a love that is filled with libido, that's what it's filled with, that is only within the first 3 or 4 years. Then come the realization stage. The stage when you go through the middle passage of your own marriage and you got to feel that what is going to keep me here. And I always say to people, what keeps me there is the fear of God. It's because I love God and I must be faithful to the covenant I made before God, because I understand that my marriage is meant to be the mystery between Christ and his church, and the faithfulness must be there. And I don't compromise that. And my wife does not compromise because we are equally yoked. But if you're unequally yoked with a person, if you're unequally yoked and you enter into a covenant relationship or even enter into a courtship, both of you are thinking on different levels spiritually. And if you are moving towards the things of Christ and he or she is moving away from things of Christ, that's a recipe for disaster. I hope you'll take those three boundaries this morning and incorporate it into your own experience, singles, so that you can have a successful, perhaps, a courtship that will ultimately lead to a lifetime companionship. There's a sixth and final thing this morning I got to share with you, loved ones. Don't be too secretive about your relationship. Get a neutral person involved. Watch what I just said. You know, you must have to have them. Don't be too secretive about your relationship. Get a neutral person involved. You know, secrecy at times fosters deception. As the saying goes, let me tell you something. It is a small world after all. You might think the person that you think nobody knows, someone might know him very, very well, or someone might know her very, very well. Because you might. Because I tell you what, some people's history follow them. That is why it's important that you don't say, I'm in Laurel and my date is in Virginia. I ain't going to let nobody know. I'm going to keep everything hush. You know, I don't want nobody in my business. I'm going to keep. And all of a sudden, you bring it out to people and you say, this is my fiancé. We plan to get married next week. And nobody ever seen this person before. You might say, Pastor Wally, that works for me. But I tell you what, that's dangerous. Why is that dangerous? Because at times, being able to bring people around others are able to actually, that are praying for you, that love you, can be able to pray some things into that relationship. But not only that, when a neutral person is involved, a person that's not emotionally vested, a person that knows God, that loves God, a person walking with the Lord Jesus, when they're involved, when you let them look at that relationship and look at that person and see what is going on, that person might be able to tell you some things that you don't see. Listen to me well. That person might be able to tell you some things you don't see. Why? Because your emotion have sedated you to the reality, and the person walking with the Lord can actually look at it and say, listen, I see red flags here. Something ain't jiving here. Something spiritually ain't working here. You really need to pray about what you're trying to do. You really need to pray about this relationship. What I'm seeing here is not something that is healthy in terms of the way the Lord Jesus calls you and I to go, that you might be able to see, and that person might be able to advise you and counsel you. That is where wisdom comes in. That is where understanding comes in, because there's a way that seems right unto a man, and it might be the path of death, said the book of Proverbs. That is why we let counselors come in. In the midst of many counselors, a word is established, said the book of Proverbs. We must allow some. I'm not saying go announce it to everybody. I'm not going to say go put his name or a name in the newspaper and say, could you check him out? I'm saying bring that person around. I'm saying get somebody that is spiritually mature to look deep and say, to confide in that person. Say, you know, pray for me in this relationship. Help me that God will give me wisdom, that some decision that we are planning to make will align with the will of God. And you can begin to ask people who has the worth of, who know the worth of prayer, like we sent an old school, to begin to pray for you. When you do that, God in his mercy, if there is something there that you don't see, God in his mercy can give you the grace to see it. Why? Because you need to see it before you enter into a covenant. Because when you enter into a covenant, it's more difficult. But now that you can, to make a healthy decision on the relationship, you need to see it. This morning, I just stopped by to counsel you. Singles, I stopped by to counsel you. This might be your first time trying to get into this institution called marriage, or you might have been around the bend a couple of times and you're going back into it. This is something that you need to pay close attention to. Don't get blindsided, because if you do, the pain, the brokenness can be very devastating. This morning, loved ones, I've presented to you the counsel of the Lord God of heaven. I'm praying that all of you singles listening to me this morning that are planning to make this headway into this institution of marriage, that are looking at the power of companionship, will pray and you will be advised that you need to be very watchful and prayerful. And this morning, this is my counsel to you. May God give each one of us the heart to hear and to do, thus says the Lord. Our Father and our God, this morning, into thy hands I commit this time of teaching. May thou now consecrate, my Father, I pray, the word that has been declared to your glory. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.